I'm Ben.
And I'm Thomas, and you're listening to
The Average Smart Guys Podcast, your wholesome and nerdy show
where we'll discuss recent events, movies, and philosophy. Welcome back to the Average Smart Guys Podcast. If you haven't already, then please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. You can also find us at theaveragesmartguys.wordpress.com, where you can follow our blog and latest broadcasts. Feel free to comment on our website or email us at averagesmartguys@gmail.com to leave feedback, give suggestions, or add to the discussion. Well, this is our final episode of our Star Wars series, and it's being released on a special day, May the 4th, and so as you are celebrating Star Wars Day, we hope you are listening in and joining our conversation today. So to end our series, I thought it'd be neat to talk about the philosophies we see in Star Wars and some of the real-world religions and philosophies that influenced the world of Star Wars. So Ben, I'll kick it off to you.
So, you know, as Thomas said, we're looking through Star Wars and looking through the different impacts of how we can relate to real-world religions, and we have a couple of them. The first one we're going to talk about is Buddhism, and what is Buddhism? So, to kind of give an idea to those who don't know what Buddhism is, it's usually Buddhists or people who are following the teachings of a god in some forms. It's called Buddha, and simply they are trying to live by his words and attain a certain enlightenment. And this enlightenment is basically following certain principles, no different than, you know, some other religions. They all have these principles, but just basically in the case of Buddhism, like, you know, they're not going to have any type of attachments. So whether it's worldly or worldly, I guess, in all aspects. So and I believe that means with relationships, that means with items, in particular money, gifts, toys, whatever you want to call it. And so they don't have any type of attachments. And we relate that into the Jedi world. You look at the Jedi, they don't have any attachments either. They're free from the world. They're basically on this path of enlightenment too. The Force, they're following the Force, and so the best ascertain that they can't be distracted. And so that's the same way we kind of compare that to Buddhism, and that's one aspect that I would relate to, of just being enlightened and following that path. Another one that we would probably talk about is Taoism, which for those, it's easily put, is probably the yin and yang, the study of that, which I'm sure most of you guys know what that is. But yin and yang, some would say it's I think if it translates correctly, if I remember side, it's like the sunny side and the shady side. And that simply, we would relate that to good and evil, the balance of those two, and how they basically weigh in the scheme of things. And so, you know, we look at that with the Jedi Order and the Sith Order. You know, you have the Jedis who are good, you have the Sith who are evil, and they must balance each other out, because if one is tipping, then the other one must compensate in some form. Otherwise, it's too much, too good. You can't have too much good, you can't have too much evil, it conflicts, and there's a whole huge study within that, and I'm barely just grasping the surface on that, but just kind of those specific aspects. And then I'll let Thomas talk about the last one, which is Thomas, why don't you talk about the last religion that we're going to compare this to?
Well, the main two are Taoism and Buddhism, which you already mentioned. Okay. And those are the two that I like to focus on. I vaguely want to say Confucianism. Is that the one you were thinking of?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
There's some relation to what we see in Star Wars. I cannot remember the specifics off the top of my head, but they're all Eastern religions and philosophies, and we see that is the key. Eastern religions, philosophies play a key role in influencing George Lucas when he was creating the world of Star Wars. Now, I want to qualify what you said about the Buddha. He's not a god in the sense that we think of gods in the Western world. You know, we, as Christians, we worship God, and through that, through Jesus Christ. Islam worships Allah. The Greeks had their gods, right? In Buddhism, Buddha was essentially a man who reached enlightenment. He was the model, and so when he reached nirvana, everyone started to emulate him. He transcended and became one with I'm forgetting the term. I don't want to say one with nothingness, but it's almost like that. And we're all drops in a big pond kind of thing. And that's what kind of their afterlife is like. Siddhartha Gautama was his name, and became the Buddha. And so that's who they emulate. In a sense, he's a god, but it's not in the way that we think of. And so we see in the Taoism has yin-yang or yin-yang. And it, like you said, it's the opposite forces and how you need both to have balance, right? One person can't have well, it makes me think of what Aristotle said about virtues, right? You have fear and courage is there in the middle, and then you have recklessness, right? We think of that hero. Oh, what was that? World of Warcraft. The guy runs off and fights. You know what I'm talking about? YouTube video. Jenkins.
Leroy Jenkins.
Leroy Jenkins, right? If you're familiar with that, everyone plans the battle, and he just runs in and starts killing and dies, right? And so they have to run in after him, right? That recklessness. It's more than bravery. It's reckless. But in the middle, you have courage, you have bravery. It's control of your fear, but it's control of your passion. And so it brings you to being a truly brave person. And so yin-yang is kind of like that. You take the two together, fear and recklessness, and they balance each other out to make you a person. We need nighttime as much as we need daytime. For the cycles of us sleeping, of nature to work. Too much sun kills plants. Not enough sun kills them also. So you need that balance is one way to look at that. And so those, and then Buddhism, as you mentioned, you already mentioned some of their beliefs of no attachments. They meditate. They, you know, they have relationships and stuff, but it's that back to that yin yang idea of balance with it. And so I think that covers about all of that background. And of course, you know, Wikipedia is a good starting source if you want to look at some of this stuff. I encourage that. And of course, they have sources you can find some more. And then Houston Smith has some really good religious books out there if you're really curious about knowing more of that. So let's get into the actual Star Wars part of it. And then we'll kind of compare how that goes together. And so the Jedi Order. Jedi Code, right? We see them as the light side, right? Keeping in mind of that yin yang. So the Jedi Code, you can find this on online somewhere too. There is no emotion, there is peace, there is no ignorance, there is knowledge, there is no passion, there is serenity, there is no chaos, there is harmony, there is no death, there is the Force. And so, Ben, how do we see that play out in the films?
Okay, so let's take the perfect, probably the best example that we could easily, quickly find, it's in the middle series, I'll use this a little bit easier. It's in episodes 1, 2, and 3. We have Anakin Skywalker. And so in one particular scene, and it's the Attack of the Clones, which is episode 2, Anakin and Padme are running home. They are basically smuggling themselves home to avoid certain situations. And at this time, you've really seen this relationship built between young Anakin or teenage Anakin and Padme. and this relationship. And one of the questions that Padme actually brings up to Anakin is can Jedi's love, can Jedi's truly have a relationship? And by definition, if we look at the Jedi Code, there's no passion, there's serenity. And some of these things, these driving forces are going to be coming out of that. So I want to say that too. So I'm kind of using a bit of that. He talks about Anakin makes the mistake in comparing it to we can't have love, but we can have unconditional love kind of thing. And so he kind of drives that aspect out of – he's trying to make the comparison that that they can have some type of emotion and passion, which is obviously directly against the Jedi code, the Jedi order. And so this would be nothing of a like. As far outside of that, the easiest other biggest cases I would see is you have you have usually Yoda involved, Yoda talks about controlling your emotions, controlling the way you feel. Because if you can't feel and I forgot the direct line he says, but basically, what is it? Fear leads to darkness. Darkness leads to death. Death leads to anger, and so forth. And he's talking this to Anakin once again. He's basically saying you can't have emotions because emotions will run you over. They control you, and you basically, unfortunately, can't control yourself, and it will lead to the dark side. Which we'll get over to that in a second.
Yeah, and I think it's fear leads to pain, pain leads to suffering.
Yeah,
suffering,
that one.
Something like that. But yeah, you're right. And we also see, I mean, we see feelings. Feelings are the big, I guess, play out in it. Not being attached. Obi-Wan says the same thing to Anakin. Be mindful of your feelings. You can care for her, but you can't be attached to her. I think he explicitly says, don't have attachments. And Anakin kind of explains that to Padme. And so we see that. And that goes to passion. You need serenity. You need calmness. You need peace in your mind. And like we let our emotions and our attachments take control of us. It tends to cause problems for us. And we see that with Anakin.
Yeah, and we see it later on, and another connection is his son, Luke, in the episodes 4, 5, and 6. Same kind of aspect, and it plays out with his sister, spoiler alert, Leia, and his dad, Anakin. He has a love for both of them. He has a love for his friends. He doesn't want to, in certain scenes, he doesn't want to lose his friends. He doesn't want his father to die. He wants to somehow redeem his father. And so he has these emotions. And once again, it's in direct conflict with the Jedi Order, because you have Yoda and you have the ghost of Obi-Wan, who are basically saying, you can't do this. You can't help him, because it's almost essentially, one, your training's not done yet, but if you give this way, you're going to fall into your emotions and we're going to lose you. They're scared of the exact same thing that happened to his father, Anakin. And so you see this connection of, if you want to be a Jedi, you have to be in perfect self-harmony. You have to control everything that's around you. You have to control your feelings. You have to control your desires. You have to control every single thing. And if you can't, then you will eventually, or you'll accidentally end up in the dark side, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. I think that's about it. I mean, they mostly focus on feelings. I can't think of anything right now. They talk about knowledge of the Force. We see some of that being talked about too, especially Anakin and Palpatine. They're talking about it. He's like, well, the Jedi are hiding things from you. They talk about knowledge of the Force, but there's so much they don't know. And he uses that, while knowledge, in Buddhism, that knowledge is of the afterlife, in a sense. And so the knowledge of the Force is one of their key tenets. And Palpatine twists that to trick, because he knows Anakin's attachments and his feelings, and he's losing control, and so he uses that to twist it to pull him into the dark side. You mentioned Luke. I know we mentioned this before, but when he was on Dagobah training, he has to go into the cave or the dense part of the swamp to face his fears. Right? He has to face his fears and overcome them. He has to overcome his feelings and bring them under control before he's able to even face Darth Vader. And so I think you're right on the point with that one. So let's the Force, because that's going to be a big part of it, and we haven't talked enough about that. So the Force is really complicated, and Episode 1 made it more complicated, in my opinion. So the Force, as we've seen it in Episodes 4, 5, and 6, was more of what we see in Buddhism of the kind of enlightenment. It's in us, it's around us, it's everything. The Force guides and wills us, and the Force more or less is when we think of going to heaven, we think of that we're going to be individuals still. In Buddhism, it's not that. It's like I said earlier, we're drops in the pond. That's the best way I know how to describe it. And so it's just you become one with nothingness, and that is the Force, right? So when they die, they become part of the Force. We hear them saying that when a Jedi dies or people die, we all become part of the Force, and we become one with it. And it's this lack of a better word. It's this Force within the galaxy. It's not necessarily an entity. It's not a being. But it just is kind of thing. And so we see the Force in there. Now, the reason I say Episode 1 complicated it because they had to bring up midichlorians. Which completely, because it implies that the midichlorians are what gives them their powers.
I actually take that back. I don't think that's necessarily what it implies that the midichlorians reside on people who are more Force users. So a higher count means they have a higher probability of controlling the Force. I think that's what it alludes to.
I think that was a correction after the fact.
Yeah.
Because that's how a lot of people have tried to, okay, Lucas, you screwed it up with midichlorians. We're going to fix it for you. I agree that that's a good way to fix it, is that it tends to show up more with people who are not prominent with the Force, but good with the Force. Sorry, my mind went blank. But I think when he originally mentioned the midichlorians, it had the major implication of the midichlorians are what give, like, Jedis and people who are strong with the Force their powers. I love what you said, and I was going to say that too. Thank you for saying it for me. We're going to go with that one because it makes us feel better.
Yeah. And the other one would lead, like you said, all implications. Like, could I inject myself with more midichlorians?
Right.
Be a fun fact. So a fun fact for you guys, in case you didn't know, I actually just came across this too in the Jedi Code. So we don't ever see this in the movies per se, but the code in a, I guess, form of the code forbids the Jedi from actually killing unarmed opponents. So this would be, obviously if they've disarmed somebody, they're just going to arrest them. They're not going to slash them. They're not going to kill them, even if that person's terrible. In the case of, well, I guess there is a good example. In the case of Senator Palpatine, especially when he's evil, they're not going to kill him. They want to capture him, even though, actually, I think in the movies, they actually do want to. I think they almost see him as, like, being this kind of, we need to maybe get rid of him. But
yeah, Mace Windu wants to because he's too powerful.
Correct.
But Anakin says, no, it's not our way.
Yes. But that's just a fun fact. That's one of the Jedi orders. And so it's kind of in stipulation with revenge. They don't allow revenge. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing they wouldn't ever allow is, I guess, obviously attacking an unarmed person. So
yeah, and that aligns with Buddhism. They treat all life as valuable, like even the cockroaches and stuff. They think you shouldn't kill them just because, but we do see warrior monks, and so they fight in defense, but only in defense, and so they don't they value life and everything, and so that kind of lines up just right. Anything else on the Jedi Code?
No, I think, and as Thomas, we kind of mentioned, I would highly recommend using Wikipedia on this as well for the religions, but also for just interesting information about the Jedi, just the code. There's other codes that you can relate to, like example, there's another one that says Jedis are the guardians of the peace in the galaxy. They use their power to defend and to protect. These are just some other tidbits of canon that we could talk about, which we actually talked about in, I think, episode one, our first part of the series, about canon and legends and stuff like that. So just some fun fact of what, how this plays into the Jedi code and order. So definitely look it up if you get a chance.
All right. So the Sith code, peace is a lie. There is only passion. Through passion, I gain strength. Through strength, I gain power. Through power, I gain victory. Through victory, my chains are broken. The Force shall set me free. So how do we see that play out in the movies?
Oh, are you asking me? Yeah. Can we answer this one? Okay. So let's take the simplest approach. We see the Sith code as simply being a emotion, and mostly, usually cases, it's anger, it's wrath, it's power over the situation. It's just simply, I'm going to flood all my hate in this regard. Which, it's funny, if you're just reading the Sith code, I necessarily wouldn't see that. If I look at it right now, like I said, Thomas said, peace is a lie. There's only passion. Through passion, I gain strength. Through strength, I gain power. Through power, I gain victory. Through victory, my chains are broken. The Force shall free me. So it's almost like they say the world is a prison, that if they want to stand above everything else, they have to follow this kind of law, which it kind of makes sense. You know, once again, that's following. This is their sense of enlightenment. This is how they have to ascertain that, is by following this code. I'm using that term very lightly on alignment, by the way. I'm not don't quote me on that. But it's almost the direct opposition, obviously, with the Jedi. So where do we see that? Well, let's start with Senator Palpatine. He has this sense for power. He wants to control everything. He wants to have strength, and by strength I mean whether it's using the Force in new ways that we haven't seen before, to controlling people, to being the highest, most supreme leader of the entire land. This is how he sees it and how he uses it. We don't get too many more examples. I mean, we get obviously Darth Vader, Darth Maul, and then Carlos Ren.
Kylo.
I'm sorry about that.
Carlos.
Carlos. I really want to make a Hispanic Sith Lord now. That would just be really funny. I don't know why. Carlos. They each have the sense of, they let the emotion run freely in them with no problem. And you can really see this with Carlos Ren. That's so, I can't get it right. This is bad.
Cinco de Mayo.
I know. Cinco de, oh, it's, what's the fourth? What's fourth in Spanish?
Cinco de.
No.
Cuatro. No, it'd be Cuatro de Mayo. Sorry.
Cuatro de Mayo. Okay. There we go. Kylo Ren, we see him, he's a teenager, he's young, and anytime he gets mad about something, and I mean, like, he hears bad news, he lets literally all of his emotions run freely.
Throws temper tantrums.
Temper tantrums. But in his specific line, it's interesting, is, and I feel like you can find this with any, whether it's Jedi, whether it's Sith, when it came to his dad, Luke Skywalker, he had this sense of emotion that unfortunately was paralyzing him. It was the sense of, you know, I have my dad. I guess somewhat maybe loved my dad, but he didn't want that emotion. He wanted to be free of it, and so the only way he knew how was to kill him. But it's interesting as
– Wait, hang on. Did you say Kylo Ren's dad is Luke Skywalker?
Oh, sorry. I meant to say Han Solo. Okay. Sorry, okay. My bad.
Yes, Han Solo. Yeah, we see him struggling with that emotion.
He struggles with that emotion. And it's funny is the Sith code would actually perfectly be okay with that, is that he has this passion. He can have this attachment almost, but he wants to get rid of it. He doesn't want this attachment. Mm-hmm. He wants to be free of emotion in this regard. which will come back to play, and I think in the next section we just talk about. So we have that.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. Like, I didn't think about that. He has this attachment that he feels like it's holding him back. And that's actually kind of a Jedi code type thing, to get rid of the attachments so that they can move on into the Force. Yep. I got my brain buzzing. I know we'll get more into that, but I'm really curious to see where that's going to go in the films.
And the other big scenario you see this play out with emotion, as far as Dark Lords, is Vader in his finding out that his whole driving force, Anakin, aka Vader, his whole driving force was he wanted to protect Padme. He wanted to save her from death because he knew when death came, it would end her life. You know, that's exactly what the Jedi Order preached against, was don't worry, death is just only, you know, after death is the Force. That's what it is.
Yeah, death is almost an illusion, and there's more to life.
But instead, he wants to protect her, and then when he eventually loses her, he gains this sense of emotion, this desire to destroy things. And you see his power in the Force, his strength, literally go off the charts. Like, you see him destroy an entire room in that scene when he first finds out that Padme is dead. And so you see this direct connection that emotions drive their Force abilities in any situation, almost any situation.
It's like they lose control. It's not – they just let it out. It's not power under control. That's kind of where we get the word meekness. It means power under control, kind of. And so they want to feed into their emotions to make their powers – I struggle to say stronger, but it's because they don't control it. It's like a kid you know, we see with that Kylo Ren. You know, he's really powerful, and he probably gets that some from being a Skywalker. But he gives into his anger, he gives into his emotions so much that his Force powers just lash out, and so you're right, we see that, and they're always trying to get them. You know, Palpatine was trying to get Anakin to give into his feelings, to give into his emotions, because he knew he would fall into the dark side. We also see that with Luke, when Luke is on the second Death Star in the Emperor's throne room, and he's fighting Vader. He defeats Vader. I mean, he can end him in a slash, and Palpatine tells him, give in to your anger, strike him down, and join me. Because he knows that if he gives in to his anger, he'll give in to the dark side, and he'll be lost. But he controls it. He says no, and that's what keeps him in the light side. That's what keeps him a Jedi instead of giving in. And then with Anakin, you know, like you said, Padme was his driving force. His mother before that was his attachment, was his passion. When he loses her, he gives into his rage and slaughters the Sand People. Like you said, when he finds out Padme's dead, he lashes out and crushes the room he's in, using the Force. We even see him lose control with Padme on, is it Mustafar? Is that where they were at, the volcano planet?
Yes, I believe so.
And he thinks Padme has betrayed him, and he starts Force choking her. He's so lost in his passion and his anger that he forgets the whole purpose of what he's doing is to save her, and he starts to kill her. And so we see just the chaos that comes with the dark side and giving into their emotions. Anything else?
No, I think that's, I think you spoke very, well over that, on that aspect. I think, paints a picture
on both sides. The main thing they focus on in the films are emotions. And that's probably easier for a lot of us to relate to. Are our emotions, being attached to things or not attached to things, and so forth, especially loved ones. Like, I have nightmares about my family, about my wife and child. If something was to happen to them, I don't know what I would do. And so we can relate to that. So Ben, what is the third code that we see pop up, at least online?
Ooh. So this is my favorite code. One, because I think it's the most prominent, and it's about to be the one that's going to be the new one of the entire new series, and that is called the Gray Code. So to give an aspect real quick of what the Gray Code is, and then I'll actually say the code, or at least what it's supposed to be the code. The Gray Code, or the Gray Order, is basically a mix of your Jedi, your Sith. It's supposed to be the ultimate, I guess, say, balance of the two. And how it drives them. So we'll go. I'll give an explanation of what the code is and how it's what's said. And the code is simply: flowing through all, there is balance. There is no peace without a passion to create. There is no passion without peace to guide. Knowledge stagnates without the strength to act. Power blinds without the serenity to see. There is freedom in life. There is purpose in death. The Force is all things, and I am the Force. Okay.
Sorry, yours is different than mine. I mean, it's the same idea. You might have like an expanded version. And so I'm curious what the other ones might look like from what you're reading. This is what my Gray Code reads. There is no dark side nor light side. There is only the Force. I will do what I must to keep the balance. There is no good without evil, but evil must not be allowed to flourish. There is passion, yet peace. There is serenity, yet emotion. There is chaos, yet order. And so, I mean, they're pretty similar, but I think it was just interesting that you found one that was a little bit different than what I found.
And I think it's probably the biggest reason is this hasn't been real. So in the series of Star Wars, you really haven't had too much anything that dealt with the Gray Order, at least not in the 7 movies that are currently out.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back to literally the last part that we talked about, or 2 parts ago, I have hinted at this entire time that I feel like they're building towards this Gray Order, and describing that in that regards. But as we kind of talked about through the codes of each one, whether it's Thomas or mine, you see that they literally represent both codes in some form or fashion. Mm-hmm. In the case of mine, just because it's probably I can easily see it, unfortunately, right. I'll kind of compare. But so let's start with the first one. It's simply our there is no peace without passion to create. So, you know, why what's the purpose? You can't have one or the other. So look at yin and yang. Here's a good example of this. How can we tell if something's good if we have nothing compared to what is bad? Mm-hmm. Does that kind of make sense? And so I think in the same way, there is no peace if there's that with a passion. So passion drives the peace, but at the same time, you need to have peace so you can have the passion. I guess, yeah. In some form or fashion. And another one that mine says, this is talking about there's freedom in life, there's purpose in death. If you look at the Jedi Code, it specifically says that in terms of death, let's see, there is no death, there is the Force. It's almost like, there's nothing in the Force. But it's this Gray Order saying, though the death serves a purpose, more so than just the Force. There is a purpose, and it doesn't define that other than there's a purpose in death, just like there is freedom in life. So why in some cases, I guess it could say, maybe we should live our lives a little bit more enjoyable. You know, in the case of the Jedi Order, they don't have attachments. They basically just kind of – their end goal is to make it to the end almost. Like they just achieve perfect enlightenment and that's it, you know, and to protect others and things of that nature. But other than that, they're just trying to make it to the end. And in here, it's kind of like there's freedom in life and joy almost, kind of a sounding aspect. What's your take on the Gray Jedi Code?
It's the Gray Code. I wouldn't call it the Gray Jedi Code, but it is. I'd say it's probably one of the perfect balance within a person. I think it represents Yin Yang very well. And what we see in it of everything. You know, it's interesting, you know, Sith Code, we probably think of red because of the red lightsaber, but it's the dark side, darkness, and then we have the Jedi, the light side, and of course when you mix white and black, you get gray, okay? Mm-hmm. That's basic second grade stuff. But the reason I mention that is if you were to take the symbol of Yin Yang and say put it on a fan or something, right? Turn it on and watch it spin. You don't see the black and white anymore. You see it as one color, one object. It's not these separate things. Even when you look at it still, there's the white dot inside of the black, and there's the black dot inside of the white, showing that it's not only ebb and flowing, but there has to be some of it in each other. So you get this mix. And so I think you're spot on with the gray code, or the gray order is the perfect balance, at least within a person.
So let's compare this now to the movie series, and I think we have some points we can talk about this later. So we haven't, like I said, we haven't really seen it, but everything's been hinted at that the next few movies that this possibly could be coming up. And I've said this before, I'm like, this would be awesome to see. And then obviously in the last trailer that was released for The Last Jedi, so that's going to be episode 8 in this series. It came out, I think, right after we did our last podcast, and so we have some information that we could use with that. And here's, I'm going to read out some dialogue and let you guys kind of think about that, and Thomas, I'm let you also hear it as well. This is actual dialogue from the trailer, so this is what it says. This is Luke Skywalker talking. Breathe, just breathe. Now reach out. What do you see? And then Rey responds, light, darkness, a balance. And then Luke Skywalker says, it's so much bigger. The next line that also Luke says, and then we'll, or a couple more, actually I think this is only one line, is, and this is from Luke Skywalker, I only know one truth, it's time for the Jedi to end. And so it's, you can kind of see that in the movies, the Jedi, just as we've always said before, you have to have a balance with the Jedi and the Sith. You can't have, if there's Jedi, then you have to have Sith, just like in yin and yang. You can't if you have good, then you also have the evil. What I think it's finally starting to stray away from, if you want to get rid of the evil, then you're also going to have to, in some form, get rid of the good. If you want to get rid of the Sith, then you got to get rid of the good, and you're going to have to meet in the middle. You're going to have to become this perfect middle gray opposition. And I think that's what the whole point, if you actually look at Luke's robes, even in the movie, he's wearing kind of grayish robes. It's kind of, he's not pure white like any Jedi is. He's not pure black like any bad guy is, at least per se. He's kind of at this middle. And as Rey said earlier in that quote that I just said, she says light, darkness, and balance. And that's the point. They're finally realizing that the only way for this to stop is they're going to have to coexist in the middle. And I don't know what that entails. If that means you have Rey, who's light, you have Kylo Ren, who's darkness, and then you have Luke Skywalker, who's finally decided that he's in the middle, and he lets his emotions drive him, but he does not let his emotions control him, I think is the best way to say it. What's your thoughts, Thomas, on this?
I mean, we'd be careful with any trailer. Let me just throw that out there. Yeah. That they tend to mislead us, especially Star Wars. If you want, I have stumbled upon recently this podcast. It's called the Katina Cast, and it talked about Star Wars, and they've broke down the Last Jedi trailer or teaser trailer recently, and so they're very interesting. I'd recommend them. That's the Cantina Cast, and you should be able to. I mean, that's their main title, and they talk about that. I agree with the talking about the trailer. We do see them talking about the Force, light side, dark side, balance, because that is the whole driving thing, bringing balance to the Force. I struggle with, and I think this is them tricking us, that they say that Luke is the one saying, I only know one truth, and that is the Jedi must end. Because I think I only know one truth is actually Kylo Ren speaking. If you listen to the voices, it sounds more harsh and stuff like a Sith would say it. And I could be entirely wrong, but that's how I feel with it. And Luke might be saying something completely different about something ending, but they've put it together to trick us. But I think it does raise questions of, are they going to get away from the Jedi and the Sith, like you said? Are they going to bring more of a This is where I come with a balance within oneself. And that's where we get the Gray Order. It's a balance within oneself. The Sith, they want to conquer. They want to bring chaos and rule the galaxy. And the Jedi don't. They want to bring peace. And so that's where you see the difference. And the reason that, one, that I wanted to bring up talking about the Force earlier and the midichlorians, because it's not beings that are the Force. It's not the Jedi. It's not the Sith. It's not those who can use it. But the Force is so much bigger than that. And that might be what that quote is. It's bigger than that. It's not just what we see in the Sith and the Jedi and whoever, but it's bigger than all of that. And essentially, balance in the Force would be peace. Overall, peace in the entire galaxy. That'd be a balance of two things, right? There's stuff happening, but it's still peaceful, is my take on it, at least. And I think that can happen if the Sith were destroyed, but the Jedi still functioned. But there wouldn't be as much of a need for the Jedi that they could recluse and meditate more than they would need to, because the Jedi are there to fight the Sith and to help keep them in check and keep them in balance. And so if there was true peace, the Jedi wouldn't be needed. So it might come back to the same thing. It might come to the end of the Jedi because we don't need them to protect us against the Sith.
Yeah. I partially agree with that. I think that is a possibility. I've said this before, and I think, what if they also portray that Luke has this understanding that to truly defeat the Sith, you're going to have to, I guess, best example of this would be fight fire with fire in some forms. That the Jedi have never been successful because they've always fought it from, unfortunately, okay, I think it as a math situation. If you have a positive one and you have a negative one, then they're going to cancel each other out. But you'll never, ever bring a tipped favor either way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so there has to be something, in some cases, stronger than the two. And which the only thing I can see is the combination of the two in some form, which would be this gray order of, hey, I can use the Force and I can let my emotions drive me. And like I said earlier, I let my emotions drive me, but I do not let them control me. I know when to calm myself, but I also know when to use – I also let my – I need to – I'm losing my favorite person. I'm losing – there's billions of lives being killed because of this bad guy. I'm going to use those emotions that drive me to stop him. The Jedi wouldn't necessarily normally do that. Yes, they protect the life, but they don't let the emotion drive them. And I think that's what the difference is with this Gray Order is. Right. They're still seeking the good for the group, but they let the emotions drive them in some cases. They let passion affect them. And I think that's the only true way. And at that point, the Jedi, if you're going to take care of the Sith, then the Jedi don't need to exist anymore. There's no real purpose other than this Gray Order. And I think that you're right. It's a ploy. It's just something they're saying in the trailer to get us away. But I even before the trailer, before this ever came out, I just feel like that is something they've always just kind of been hinting at and driving at, is there is something much bigger than they two. And just look at the dark side. They have epic powers because they can control, they can use their emotions. And we don't ever really see that except a few times with the Jedi. So why is that? I don't know. I feel like that's something that maybe the Jedi are finally like, hey, we can use the Force a lot more if we use our emotions. I don't know. And I think Luke's kind of discovered that kind of mentality.
Yeah, and I think kind of to counter-argue that just a little – The Sith are looking for power, right? Think of it as two different countries. One country that's always looking for power will have more weapons. But someone who is, hey, we just want to take care of us. We want to take care of our people. They're not looking for those new powers, but they are trying to be what they need to be to protect people. And so that might be part of it. I hesitate and I struggle to say that emotion is the main thing that why their powers are greater, or it is emotion that makes their powers greater. It is the Sith's desire for power, their anger, their passions that drive them to get more powers. And then in the Jedi, they want to spend more time meditating, but they do have their powers. We see Yoda deflect Force lightning, right? Not just the lightsaber. He actually uses the Force to get it, and he actually makes it dissipate. He doesn't just deflect it. He actually gets it and gets rid of it. That's pretty powerful. You know, you have to be more powerful, or at least equally powerful, to be able to do that too. And I think you said there are some cases where we do see the Jedi.
There are some.
Yeah. Sorry, I know you did say that. I'll give you credit for that. Overall, I mean, you have two Sith that are all they're doing is looking for power, and they keep learning and killing before. And that's the other reason that they kill their masters, and so when they get more powerful and they learn those powers, and it just goes on and on. The Jedi aren't that way. They're not, it's not an arms race in a sense, or it's not a power struggle for them, so they don't push themselves. Because they are controlling them, they're not having that passion, and so you know, I agree with you some, but I think there's some other factors that play into that too.
You know, hey, when the movie comes out, I'll just say you're wrong, and hey, you know, at that point,
if that's I agree that they're getting away with the old Jedi Order. I think that is something that Luke comes to. I think. When he tried rebuilding the Jedi Order and training Padawans, and it failed, and he failed Kylo or Ben Solo, he realized we can't do it that way anymore. It doesn't work. It keeps creating Sith and so forth. We have to find a better way. So I think, I mean, it may not be the Grey Order that we think of, but I think we are going to see a change. I think we are going to see this balance within oneself in the sense that you kind of talk about.
Yeah. So, all right. So, wrapping up, any final thoughts you might have? Any last minutes? I mean, this is the end of a 4-part series. I mean, I guess you could go back if you want to talk about anything else, but, you know, it's been a long ride on this series, but it's been a great ride so far.
Yeah. This has been some of my favorite talks. You know me, Ben. I am a huge, I was a religious studies minor, and so while I'm more knowledgeable with Western religion, you know, I have a master's degree in theology from a Christian seminary, so I'm definitely more familiar with that than Buddhism. But Eastern religions and philosophies are very interesting, and I'd encourage you to go look them up. And so this has been very enjoyable, especially this conversation. I'm a huge Star Wars nerd, so this series has been very enjoyable. Now there, I want to encourage you, of course, we've been talking about the movies, but listeners, Ben, even if you haven't yet, go check out the Clone Wars, cartoon series. It's on Netflix. Trying to pull it up. There are some episodes that really explain what we've been talking about in some cases. They've been explaining the Force and the balance. In the very last episode is Yoda, and he has to go figure out, he kind of finds these Force sisters. I don't know what they're called. I can't remember, but it's like episode 6, I mean season 6. Season 6, episode 8 or something. Cause it was a really short season in that one. And he has to face his inner demon, his dark side. And he fights it. And it reminds me a lot of Gollum, actually. But he has to fight this little gremlin. Like, he's like a gremlin to me. But He has to fight and control his dark side. So we see that that philosophy playing out. Obi-Wan and Anakin get sucked into this force planet. Now, some people debate, and I think a lot of the Clone Wars series isn't true canon. It's not considered canon. It's kind of legends or something. But Obi-Wan and Anakin come to this force planet. And in what we see is three different beings. We see someone, the daughter, it's a father and his two children. The daughter is very powerful. They're all very powerful in the force, but she represents the light side. She's very powerful, peace, everything. And then the son represents the dark side, and he's just very angry and chaotic. And we see this, and the father keeps them in check, and he keeps them on the planet. And the father says that it is Anakin's destiny to take his place, to keep them in check, because if they were to leave, they would bring chaos. Either one would ruin the balance of the force in the galaxy, in the universe. The too much light side, too much dark side kind of thing. And so they needed to stay on the planet, and they needed to keep in check. And that was Anakin's destiny, was to take his place and to keep the balance in force by doing, or the force and balance by doing that. And I want to say those episodes fall within season 2 or 3 of the Clone Wars series. I'm going to look that up, and I'll let you know those episodes. Ben, any other last thoughts?
You know, as a series as a whole, just talking about all of the past four podcasts that we've done, including this one, it's been a great series. You know, I am very much a Star Wars fan, and so it's been interesting. As you know, Thomas, like I said, he has a study in theology, and so comparing our strengths and weaknesses as we tackle these cases, you know, I do find one thing interesting, and that Star Wars doesn't ever do this. Just taking from a Christianity aspect, Christianity, not that puts it down anyway. I am also a Christian, but Christianity has, I guess what some would call a hero complex, you know, Christ the Savior, who came down and obviously died for all mankind's sins. He is this hero, and Star Wars never actually takes that, never runs with that idea ever in any of the movies. I don't feel like it ever does. I don't know if, Thomas, you ever feel that way either, but it never really does that. It never has any aspect of that nature, and so that's always been interesting. Is you see all these other movies, especially action movies and stuff like that, they all have this hero complex, but Star Wars never, ever, ever, ever tackles this particular issue. But outside that, it's been a good series, and I hope every single one of you guys have enjoyed it. Thanks for listening to the Average Smart Guys podcast, and if you haven't subscribed, hopefully these four episodes have made you want to subscribe, so please do so already. And then feel free to leave us any comments about this podcast, or even suggest ideas. As we said, we're ending this series. I'm sure we're moving on to something next. Give us some ideas. We always appreciate it. And last but not least, have a great day, and may the Force be with you.